Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you for tuning into Holy Ghost Radio Show, a spirit-filled show with a prophetic mandate to reach the lost and impact God's people with biblical and revelation knowledge. We pray that the Word of God will make a difference in the lives of every listener. So tell a family member, friend, and a neighbor to tune into this life-changing message. Be blessed.
Well, hello, everyone. I'm your host, Tiana Copeland, and I want to welcome you once again to Holy Ghost Radio Show. And tonight we have Apostle Conrad Bowman and Prophetess Sharonda Riley out of Memphis, Tennessee. You guys been hearing them every week. It's been really, really awesome. And I want you guys to help me welcome them to the show tonight. How are you guys doing on tonight?
Amen. How are you?
We are doing wonderful, doing great. It's been a blessing. I really been enjoying this series on demons and deliverance. And I know on tonight you guys are going to talk more about it, but you guys are going to get more into the witchcraft in the church, which I am really excited because, you know, a lot of people really don't understand and know what's really going on in the spirit realm inside the church. So I'm so super excited to hear what God has to say about that on tonight.
Wow. Wow. I am too. I think anytime, and I think first of all, before we open up in prayer, I just really want to encourage the people of God because everyone, if you are somebody that's truly naming the name of the Lord in this time, and I don't mean, you know, naming the name of your favorite preacher or imitating something that you think you know or have heard, but I mean when you really, really are walking and doing what you have been called to do, what you were born to do, you are going through some warfare. You're going to encounter some level of spiritual warfare. And again, I really want to put an emphasis on the word spiritual. I think a lot of times we see spiritual warfare manifest in the natural. And I know speaking for myself, when you see stuff happening around you, you're like, oh, my God. You know, there ain't nothing but the devil, and this is happening, and that's happening. But I think a lot of times we have to understand God is the devil's boss, and God, if God allowing the enemy to do that much messing up and that much cutting up, is because you are close. You are on your way to death.
Yes.
I think I'm really going to have to kind of hold my jacket or hold my shirt or something. Because I am on fire. I am on fire. We have been really, really ministered to and encouraged in just this past week and even going into 2013. And I just thank the Lord because sometimes you can see stuff going on around you and you start blaming it on stuff, not realizing that it's an unseen enemy.
Yes.
It's something going on. It's deeper than not having. It's deeper than stressing. It's deeper than, you know, somebody's baby mama drama. It's deeper than your kids getting on your nerves. It's a spirit. You know, we don't wrestle against flesh. We wrestle against principalities, powers, rules of darkness of this world, spiritual wickedness, and high heavenly places. So I really want to encourage you. If you're going through, I put it on Facebook, but if you're going through, you're coming out. You cannot come out unless you go through.
Yes.
You can't go through without coming out. It's no such thing as not coming out. The Bible says that many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. Not out of some, not out of few, but all. So that means what you're going through and what you've encountered and what the enemy has stirred up has a due date on it. And it can only function to a certain point before God has to release you into victory.
Yes, yes.
I just want to encourage the people of God on tonight. But I think we're going to pray and just let God have his way. Praise God. Lord God, I thank you. I thank you, I thank you, I thank you for tonight, God. I thank you, God, for all those that call and listen. God, I thank you, God, for those that are calling for the first time. God, I thank you, God, you will be a blessing to them. God, let this word minister to their heart, God. I pray, God, that we decrease and that you increase, God, and that you have your way, Lord. We yield to you, Holy Spirit, to say and do whatever you want to do, Father God, that your people may be blessed, that Satan may be horrified, and that God may be glorified.
Yes,
God, I thank you right now, God, that you are unmasking the enemy, God, and causing the blinders to come off of our eyes and the scales to fall from our eyes so that we can embrace the truth in your word, God. And, God, you said, God, that your word is truth, God, and your word is a purifier. God, and we are being washed by the daily washing of the word. God, I ask, God, that we continue to be cleansed. God, any sin, God, anything in our lives, God, anything that would hinder your glory, we ask you to remove it. We give it over to you willingly, God, and we ask, God, that you would send a mighty anointing, God, that would destroy every yoke on this line, God, every yoke, every bondage, every habit, God, every hindrance, God, let it be removed now in the name of Jesus by the power of the blood. In the name of Jesus, and God, we give you the glory, we give you the honor, and we give you the praise for being done this hour, in Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen.
Amen.
Wow, well, Providence, I know that we, I know when you heard, we had reposted the topic about witchcraft. I know we've been talking about demonology and deliverance, and I think one of, and you know, you can stop and ask me questions anytime.
Yes, and let me make that clear before he get into it. You guys, if y'all want to ask any questions, you have to press 1 when you call in.
Right. But I think a lot of times, my God, there was we talked with one of our intercessors today, and she shared a dream that had recurred back to her, and she had it maybe a year ago, and she told us about it. I had forgotten about it. But she said she had entered into a church, and I'm going to start right here. She entered into a church, and there was a man in the pulpit, and all of the people were inside the church. Yes, God. Hey, glory. Thank you, Jesus. And she was sitting inside the church, and all the people were inside the church. And the man was up in the front, and he had on a black suit, and he began in a loud voice. And I'm trying to remember the exact saying, but he said, let all the witches and the warlocks and the sorcerers and the false prophets come in. Come on, let them in. Let them in the church. Open the doors and let them in. And as they were coming in her dream, I think she said she was running out or doing something, and she noticed that the people were asleep. They were going to sleep. They were sleeping. While all these false gifts and manifestations was coming inside the church. And come to find out that a lot of times it's not, when you see the ignorance of the people, you see the ignorance or the disobedience of the leader.
Yes, yes, yes.
People are not blind just to be blind and don't know not to know. Oh, Jesus. People have to, Lord, have mercy, Jesus. Half of the stuff, Lord God, that I'm broke loose because the anointing flows, hallelujah,
amen,
from the head down. So do curses. So do vexes and hexes and witchcraft. And when we say witchcraft, we're really talking about, you know, a lot of times people think witchcraft and pointy hats and spells and stuff like that, and that can entail that. But when we talk about witchcraft, we're talking about domination. We're talking about unrulership. We're talking about the usurping of authority. We're talking about rebellion. We're talking about a disregard for the authority of God. And when you disregard God's way, you have just introduced yourself to the spirit of witchcraft.
Wow.
You know, and that's different from God giving you a direct command. You know, we got so many people that are so uneducated, they think a rhema word is disobedience to the word. When God gives you a rhema word to confirm the word, but if you don't walk in the spirit, you wouldn't know what a rhema word was.
Wow.
And we see a lot of people, we got the real saints. Lord, I got to calm down. We got the real saints going through and praying and fasting and turning down their plate and walking in obedience, being humiliated and talked about and persecuted. And then you got the liars and the whoremongers and every kind of spirit, greed and lust and everything, walking in the pulpit, oh, God, preaching every week, but not because God called them, but because it's a job, because of opportunity, because it's my turn to be seen, but it's not a call from God. And the enemy knows that in the last day, he's got to get in the spirit realm where the believer lives and moves and has their being, because
yes,
this day and hour, we're not being deceived by flesh. The real believers are being so-called deceived by seduction in the spirit. It's called simony. The word is called simony, and it comes from Simon the sorcerer. It said in the word that it was over 70,000 people in that city who were held captive and captivated by Simon the sorcerer.
Ooh.
And that Simon had even come to the disciples to so-called be saved.
Mm-hmm.
But when he came up to Peter, he saw how they were laying hands on people and they were receiving the Holy Spirit. He said, I want that. I don't want the Holy Ghost. I don't want the Holy Spirit to do a work in my life.
Mm-hmm.
I just want power.
That's it. That's it. Mm-hmm.
We got to be careful because in this hour, everybody's crying, I want power, but I don't want purification. I want to be able to move like you. I want to speak in tongues like you. I want to lay hands like you. But I don't want the God of that power. I just want the power.
Mm-hmm.
Holy God. And it's beginning to make the church look stupid because we won't go where God is. We want to stay comfortable. We want to stay hurt and depressed. And it's time for us, I hear God say, it's time for us to go on the power.
Yes.
And when I say power, I mean authority.
Mm-hmm.
So it's time for us to go on to authority. Yes, God. Because power, Lord have mercy, without authority is illegal.
Wow.
It works for a little while, but I'm a witness. That while is shut down. You cannot operate in power without the right authority.
That's right.
And it comes from God. And I told somebody this the other day, and somebody going to get real, real mad about it. But if it's really God, God is going to make your enemies and your frenemies and your friends, they're going to have to respect that power. They may not like it, but God's going to give you, God said that he gave Jesus favor with God and man.
That's right.
So you just can't walk in somebody's church, I'm an apostle, I'm a prophet, I'm an evangelist, you better respect my office, and we don't know where you come from, because a lot of these folks are just witches.
Mm-mm-mm.
We don't know who you are, where you come from, what you know, you're always in secret, you're always in the back. We don't. You never come to anything. We can't talk to you. You're not a people person. And I understand that prophets are withdrawn anyway in their own nature. But you got to be very careful when you have people that are calling people away in cliques. Because the first step to a breaking up of a church is division in your church.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And if somebody's speaking against the vision of that house, then they don't belong there.
That's right.
You know, then it's time for you to go. You know, nobody got a gun to your head to make you stay anywhere. And we just got to be careful because a lot of stuff, you know, one thing I was taught was to always make sure that rebuke never becomes abuse. And we're living in
I think you need to say that again.
You know, we got to be careful. I was taught coming up, you got to be careful when rebuke becomes abuse. Now, I believe in open rebuke because it gets rid of hidden love. It gets rid of all that other stuff. Says, I'd rather eat, I'm trying to remember that scripture. But it says, I'd rather basically eat something in honesty than to eat it with hidden love or hidden motives. Or I'd rather eat a steak in peace than eat a steak in strife.
Yes.
You know, so I really think we have to be careful of that because so many people in leadership, because they're not real leaders and don't have the power to draw, and we have such a rebellious, even Jesus calls this generation a rebellious generation. Nobody wants to be taught anything. We just want to get up and fly in the spirit, Don't nobody know nothing. Don't know where you come from. It just happened. God just did it. It was miraculous. But you don't know the beginning or the ending of that thing, and it's dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
And a power without pedigree is a dangerous. You become an enemy because you don't really acknowledge the power thereof. You have
yes.
an image of Christ, and that's what Simon wanted. He wanted the image of the apostles. He wanted the power of the apostles. He wanted the
mm-hmm.
look. And we got a lot of people
mm-hmm.
that got the look, but they don't have the capacity to hold the power of God in their spirit for real.
Mm-hmm.
So,
wow.
Now, Providence, you know, you can jump in here anytime. You know,
go ahead. We listening.
So.
We listening.
Amen. I just wanted to throw in one small detail. I'm going to tell my testimony on the second segment of this show when I was involved in the occult. And I just, you know, I think this show is really good because we take this thing so lightly. And
mm-hmm.
I've watched the church go through phase after phase after phase after phase. But yet there's one thing that does not yet change about the body of Christ, and the Lord is sick of it. And that is the fact that the church is asleep. When our intercessor was telling me that dream today, she was telling the both of us, and she was trying to get us to remember it, and I couldn't remember her telling me. A lot of times when I do interpret dreams, it's not because I know what they mean. It's because I have to hear the Lord, because he's
mm-hmm.
the one that gives the dream. So I have to hear God, and then God tells me what he meant the dream meant, because I could dream about a balloon that was blue, and it can mean this. And somebody else could dream about a blue balloon, and it can mean that. Now, I'm saying that to say this. She began to tell me the dream again. When God uses me prophetically to interpret a dream, after a while, I may not remember it. I don't know why that happens. Well, a lot of times when prophets do prophesy, especially when they're just short words or something, a lot
mm-hmm.
of times we may not remember it, because sometimes we minister to so many people to where when someone else says, you remember this, that, and the other? Well, we didn't remember
mm-hmm.
the dream that she had. But just the fact that she brought that dream back up at such a time as this,
mm-hmm.
lets me know that she was very much on course in the realm of the spirit. She also began to go into detail about what happened, as Apostle has already explained. And
mm-hmm.
the thing that disturbs me the most about the body of Christ is, even though the body of Christ, or the church, which is basically a spiritual system, it goes through phase after phase after phase after phase, the body is still asleep. And God is doing everything under the sun. We had 9/11 that happened to wake us up. We woke up a little bit and we just tossed right back over, went right back to sleep. You had the snipers in Maryland. We tossed back over. We went right back to sleep. We had these tsunamis. We had earthquakes in different places. All of these catastrophes and all of these freak accidents is taking place, and even things more to come, and the body is still in a comatose state. And
yes.
a lot of people do not understand it's because of the principalities that are set in different regions, and the enemy has the people sleeping because he does not want the people to realize that, hey, if you don't realize this, and if you stay asleep, you're going to die in your sleep. And that's speaking spiritually. So God is using us only in this, not in this timing, but only in this season to
mm-hmm.
sound the alarm to wake up the body. And there may be listeners that's on the call now. There may be listeners who may not be on the call right now, but they know they're going to tune in when they get a chance, and they're going to click on this link to hear what thus said the Lord. It's time that you be educated in demonology, and
yes.
that's what we're here for. We're not going to waste too much time, you know, explaining to you why, but if you never, ever, ever, ever think that anything else is important in the body of Christ except the fact that Jesus Christ died for your sins and that he rose and now is seated at the right hand of the Father with all power in his hand, and you know you believe that and you have it in your heart and it's embedded in your heart, that's great. But you also have to know that just as Jesus Christ is real, the enemy is real. And it's time out that we shun the enemy and his, or the devices of the enemy, shall I say, and, you know, and ignore that because we're being defeated. However, the Lord began to deal with me, I want to say maybe a month or two ago, concerning what's getting ready to happen in this next timing. We're about to see a lot of demonic manifestations, woman of God, in the church. We're about to see some levitation. The people are about to witness astral projecting in the house. We were sitting in McDonald's, and I watched this witch come walk past us. And I never told the apostle that I picked up the fact that she was a witch. I didn't tell the intercessor. But I watched her, and I watched how she strode, you know, just kind of was striding in McDonald's while we were sitting there. And I watched her, and I began to say something to her because she was going to the wrong door. Basically, to let her know, I see you. And we're coming on that time. We're coming up on that time where people are involved in occultic organizations calling themselves Eastern Stars. The woman of God even began to tell us how her grandmother was speeding, and the police pulled her over and said, where are you going? She said, I'm going east. And he said, all right, just take your time, be more careful. And he let her go. This is in Memphis, Tennessee. These people give you a ticket just for looking at a stop sign. They give you a ticket.
Yeah.
So when she told me that, it just took me back. And I said, what does she mean by that? Because this woman was an Eastern Star. So when she told the cop, hey, we're going east, or I'm traveling east, she basically told him, you can't give me a ticket. You don't have a right to give me a ticket because I'm an Eastern Star and I run the MPD, or my organization has control over the system, over the governmental system. So I can make the government work according to what I wanted to do for me. And he let her go. So we
I want you to understand
that we're coming up against some serious stuff.
Now, Prophetess, I kind of want you to go back a little bit and explain what is astral projecting. What is that?
Astral projecting is when someone that is demonically inclined, or someone that they don't even have to be demon possessed, all they have to do is seek after a certain power that is not of God, and they can go into meditation. They can go in a particular meditation, and it has to be extremely quiet, the surroundings, and all they have to do is sit in that place and meditate. And wherever they want their spirit to go, they get it in their spirit. Let's say I'm a warlock, and let's say I sat in a position and I wanted to come to your house to see what was going on. Let's just say I want to do that right now. All I would have to do is to get in a quiet place, meditate, and think of Tiana's home, what's in it, what I want to know, and automatically my spirit can travel. Now, understand that they can only do this at particular times, at really at certain times. You have some people who may say, hey, I'm familiar with astral projection because somebody did it, but it was 3 o'clock in the afternoon. They're bold. They're very bold. And, yes, it can happen, but it's mostly popular, I think, in the hours of 3 a.m. and 6 a.m. It has to be done really. It's supposed to be done before 6 a.m. because of what the scripture says about the civil cord. And what some converted witches have also stated. So what happened is, I got a lot to tell you about the occult. Lord Jesus. So what happened is I can call my spirit to go into your house and see everything in your house from top to bottom, and then I can come right back, and then I can say, Tiana, the Lord has a word for you. And let me tell you, let me prove to you that I'm a true woman of God because your house looked like this, that, and the other.
Ooh, you better stop. You got to stop right there because just know I know a man of God used to do that all the time.
Wow.
Oh, yes. Now, some
and
people.
It was so bad, Prophetess, that the people would smell him.
Oh, yeah, he was astral projecting for sure. That is downright astral projecting. You have, and there's a difference because everything, now, I want the body of Christ to understand this as well. Everything that Satan does or everything that God does, Satan duplicates.
Mm-hmm.
He's a copycat.
Yes.
He wanted to be God. He didn't want to be like the Lord. He wasn't imitating God because, you know, the scripture talks about how we should be imitators of Christ. It's
mm-hmm.
one thing to imitate Christ, but it's another thing when you're emulating. In other words, I don't want to be like you, Jesus. I am you. I want to be you. And whatever I have to do to knock you out of your position so I can get back in it, I'm going to do it. And this is what he did with the Lord. This is what he did with God, who has always existed. So because of that, and because he still has that perverted mentality, that's what he does. So we have prophets, and the world has witches, they have psychics, they have sorcerers. You know, we have intercessors, and you, like I said, you have psychics who give advice according to what they see through their crystal balls or their tarot cards or their tea leaves or whatever it is that they use sources to get information from. And some witches use the Bible. It's called bibliomancy. So a lot of times we get intimidated. If anybody ever comes to you with the word of God and you get intimidated, that is not God. I don't care how right the scripture fits your situation. If you, unless you deal with intimidation within your spirit, and I always have, and unless you deal with the spirit of offense, if you feel intimidated or if you feel least, if you feel like you're beneath the person that's giving the word, then that word did not come from the Lord.
Wow.
Or you yourself are wrestling with the spirit if the person came with the spirit of love, and you will know the difference. Now, when you're astral projecting, I can see your house, or I can see inside of your car. Whatever I want to see, whatever I wanted to know, I can find out through astral projecting. Now, here's the thing. When a person astral projects into the home of a believer, this is why it is important that when the Holy Ghost tells you to wake up, you get your mind up and you pray. Because God will allow you to tap into certain things, and he will allow you to see certain things, and he will allow you to witness stuff. And when you witness that, hey, somebody's astral projecting according to the Bible, and I'm going to look those scriptures up and I turn it back over to Apostle, and I'm going to explain what I tell my testimony.
Mm-hmm.
According to the Bible, you can have a civil cord cut, and that person will be disconnected from, their soul will be disconnected from their body forever, and that person can die.
Which
is also why the scripture says that he suffered, or God suffers not a witch to live, because we have the power, we have dominion, we have authority over anything. Everything that is not of God, even things that are of God, has to come subject to the Spirit of God. And if it can never come subject to the Spirit of God, then it does not need to exist.
Yes.
So, it's important that the body of Christ is educated in demonology. Like I said, you know, we watch the church go through all these different phases. Okay, let me explain that. So, the body of Christ saw the church, or the body of Christ, the people who claiming to belong to God, saw the church, which is a system, the spiritual system, go through evangelism and, oh, wow, you know, come on, Jesus Christ is Lord. And we got Billy Graham all over crusades and all over America preaching the gospel. Then you have this great pastoral move and things like that, where everybody and their mama a pastor. You got husband and wife teams and things like that. Don't know what they're doing, don't know how to raise up a flock, don't know how to direct a flock. Don't know what to do with it if God gave it to them in a bucket of gold.
Yeah.
And then you go to the movement, and when the prophetic movement came, all hell just broke loose.
Yes,
everybody
it did.
And their mama was a prophet. Now we reading, you know, your social security numbers, and we could tell you this, and we could tell you that, and I'll come in your house. I had a prophet who told me, I'll come in your house, I will kick off my shoes and prop my feet up on your coffee table, and I will eat your chicken and drink your sweet tea, burp, and still tell you you going to hell if that's where you're going.
Mm-hmm.
And I told him, and I will politely take your shoes, and I will prop them up in the closet, and I will wash your dishes, and I will fix you a second glass of tea, and tell you you out of order as long as God called me the prophetess of this house, and I know I got a relationship with him.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we have to get even into that place where we're so bold in the Lord that we have a holy, not a, you know, manly or a human boldness, but a holy boldness about ourselves. Because
yes.
Now we're about to see people that are going to come and try to intimidate you. They're going to be such a people who are going to come after you. They're going to come after the word that's in you. People are going to get ready to challenge you. And I'm talking to everybody up under the sound of my voice. I don't care if you get this message and it is a month from today and you're hearing this message. I don't care if it is January the 15th, 2013. If you're hearing this message, I am talking to you as well. This message goes as far as it lasts.
Yes.
There's going to come a time where people are going to challenge you and people are going to talk about you and people are going to persecute you for what you know and for the relationship that you have with Jesus Christ. You're going to get ready to see bodies of people levitating. You're getting ready to see a lot of magicians come around. You're going to see a lot of magic shows that's about to come up, about to see a lot of things that you usually don't see in the church. There's going to be a lot of screaming in the church and there's going to be a lot of crying out that should not be permitted in the body while the pastor is preaching. There are going to be more fights, physical altercation fights. There are going to be more fights that's going to break out in the church, and the pastors won't know what to do about it because they do not know the timing of the Lord. Because they do not know the signs of the time. Apostle is training us as sons of Issachar, with the anointing of Issachar, being able to discern the signs of the time, even in the realm of the spirit, being able to know, to sense the very pulse of God, the movement of God. When he moves, we move. When he goes up, we go up. When he sit down, we sit down. We have to be able to know every move of God. And the only way that you can do that is if you stay close to him. When you're in the Lord and when the Lord is in you, when you abide in him and he abide in you, if he moves to the right, you're going to move to the right. When you go up, he's going to go up. You go down, he go down. He does this, you does this. And it's going to be a oneness. And anytime the Lord goes right and you go left, there's a problem with that. You're not one with the Lord. And he's going to do things to you that's going to pull you back together. So now you got a lot of witchcraft that's sitting right in the church, in the pulpit, in the pews. You got witchcraft that's on your job. And you don't even know it. People are tapping you on your back and patting you up and say, good job, or how you doing? Oh, God bless you. I just want to come and give you a hug. They do this thing at our church. And they say, you know, they want all the visitors to stand. And they say, well, we believe that each visitor, each new member, or each new visitor, that you should get 8 hugs a day. And so what happens is during that part of the service, everybody goes around and they hug people. Well, excuse me if you think that something is wrong with me, but I don't always get up and hug people. Sometimes I may get up and just have to all of a sudden go to the bathroom on purpose. Sometimes I walk out the sanctuary because I don't want anybody to get in a fist with me when I do not hug back, because I don't know what's on me just like I don't know what's on them.
Yeah.
So we have to be very careful at this time, timing of the Lord, as to who touches you, especially your children. Especially your children. Even if you anoint your child, if you anoint your child ahead of time and you cover them under the blood and you ask them, God, shield and protect my son or my daughter, and cover them in the blood of Jesus, and I saturate their entire spirit and body inside out with the blood of Jesus, and you believe in your spirit and in your heart that God has done so, trust and know and believe that that child is covered. Any witch, warlock could come and touch their hands or oil, some goop of dust, whatever, and nothing will happen. I am a witness. Nothing will come near them. No trick of the enemy will work against them. But I'm going to turn this back over to Apostle. I just want the people to know that he laughing at me, Lord, because he probably not ready. But I know he's full, but sometimes people are like, go ahead and get it out. But I want the body of Christ mainly to know this is important. God is real. Jesus is real. The gifts of the Lord are real. Power is real. The power is real. Witchcraft in the body of Christ has infiltrated, and now it is registered and is sitting in, and it has grown up, and the wheat is now, or the tares have grown in with the wheat. And so, you know, some people have a problem deciphering or knowing the difference between the two. So with that being said, we need to know this stuff is real. And what we are about to tell you and what we're about to let you know, this is not cast the spirit of fear. We even bind the spirit of fear even now in Jesus' name. And we cover every household. We cover every phone line right now
God.
In the name of Jesus, that the people of God's phone will not bring God unless you allow it. I disallow any activity that will cause any kind of disruptance or any kind of disturbance in the realm of the spirit. I shut it down right now. I shut down every demonic or every hellacious portal in the name of Jesus.
Yes,
Lord. I shut down every portal to the souls of every person under the sound of my voice, to every demonic influence right now in the name of Jesus. This word will be preached. We will not be attacked for it. We will not be attacked because of what we know. We will not be humiliated. We will not be bothered. We will not be tampered with after hearing the word of the Lord. I decree it. God, as your daughter, God, as your prophetess, I shut down every satanic activity now.
Yes,
in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
The people shall be powered tonight.
Yes, God.
In the name of Jesus. Understand, amen. This is real deal stuff. When I let Apostle finish everything that he needs to say, I'm going to go into my testimony. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Well, what did you say after that? Praise the Lord.
Yes.
But I know that a lot of people in the church are, they just don't know. You know, they're just, you know, ignorant concerning certain things. And you say, well, what I don't know, you know, it can't hurt me, and that's so not true.
Exactly.
Because it could be the very thing that you don't know that ends up taking you out. And we perish for the lack of knowledge, not because we know too much, because we don't know and utilize enough. And it's really time for the people of God not to be hooped, not to be preached into a frenzy, but to really be educated. And it's time to be taught. Some of us, we're saved, but we don't know how we got saved. We don't know what led us to Christ. We don't know what's keeping us with Christ. We don't know, even, you know, when people say make your calling and election sure, people don't really know what that means. They think they're talking about a title or I'm saved and I know I'm saved because, child, he did this for me. It's more than about what God did for you.
That's right.
I was talking to somebody the other day, God is bigger than your experience. You can't lock down God to one experience that you had. You know, and a lot of us we have a lot of faith in God, but our faith has no experience.
That's right.
You know, our faith doesn't have a resume. We believe in a God that we don't know because we've never trusted. We believe, but we don't trust. There's a lot of people that believe that God exists, people that believe in Jesus Christ, but not a lot of people trust him. And you have to be bought with a price in order to trust him.
Yes.
Because those that are bought with a price, he can do with you whatever he wants to do. Like later on, Prophet is going to give her a testimony that one time she was in a church where the leader was very, very occultic, was very much in the occult, and they were being led astray.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the spirit of domination and control that speaks. That's really what witchcraft is. It's something. Anything that seeks to control, anyone that seeks to control your will. I'm not talking about the Holy Ghost using God-ordained authority to whoop, to beat that button in spirit so that your soul can be saved. I'm talking about when you disobey God and like it. I'm talking about iniquity. When iniquity is birthed, it's the sin of the saints. You know, a lot of God's not charging the saints with sin. When you get in front of him in judgment, God's going to look at you for iniquity. God,
that's
if you look in the word, God never charges iniquity to those that never knew him. He always charges the sin of iniquity to those that have been around God, that have been around his presence.
Yes.
So I really, if you would, I want to read a scripture because it's really going to slingshot me into where I have to go in the next 20 minutes before that testimony is told and we take questions.
Okay.
It comes from the book of Deuteronomy. Mm-hmm. And I want to cite this scripture in one moment, just digging it up here.
And again, you guys, if you guys want to ask any questions or prayer or anything, when you call in, you have to press the number one. So I would know that you actually want to come in on the call when they get ready to take questions.
Yes, we will be ready for your questions. Okay, it's Deuteronomy chapter 18, 10 through 12. And it says this, "Let no one be found among you who sacrifices his son." I'm going to break this down.
Mm-hmm.
"His son or daughter in the fire."
Mm-hmm.
"Who practices divination or sorcery, interprets omens, engages in witchcraft,
mm-hmm.
or cast spells, or who is a medium or spiritist, or who consults the dead. Anyone who does these things is detestable to the Lord. And because of these detestable practices, the Lord your God will drive out those nations before you." Leviticus 20:6 says, "I will set my face against the person who turns to mediums and spiritists to prostitute
mm-hmm.
himself by following them. And I will cut him mm-hmm. off from his people."
Mm-hmm.
Lord Jesus.
Mm-mm-mm-mm-mm.
There are a lot of $100, $200, $500, $50, $30, $20 lines. In the church.
Yes.
Witchcraft is one word.
Mm-hmm.
Witchcraft.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know that someone operating in divination has, Lord have mercy. Okay, Acts chapter 16 tells us about a slave girl. Let me work the word for some people here tonight. A slave girl that was possessed by a spirit of Python, a spirit of divination.
Mm-hmm.
And she told fortunes and predicted the future with that familiar spirit, and made the people that owned her lots of money because of it.
Mm.
You know that when you serve another God, that in order for that God to get worship, I'm not talking about the Lord, other spirits, demonic spirits have set themselves up as gods. Those people have to, number one, they got to sell out.
Mm-hmm.
They have to wear certain clothing during certain times of the year, and they have to make buku money in order for that spirit to get praise. And
mm-hmm.
they collect what is called a diviner's fee.
Whoa.
This is what was on the prophet Balaam. Balaam was started out, oh, Jesus, as a
mm-hmm.
prophet of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
But because of greed and the spirit that was on him,
mm-hmm.
he began to collect money to see if he would be able, okay, I'll take it. I'm really not supposed to curse the people of God. For a certain fee, I'll curse the people of God.
Mm-hmm.
And it took him riding on a jackass to see. When you look in the Old Testament, it says, "I hear you, Lord." It says the angel of the Lord. It didn't say an angel. Anytime you see the word "the angel of the Lord" is talking about Jesus Christ in his pre-incarnate form.
Mm-hmm.
For those who don't know your Bible history, Jesus Christ would show up at different times in the Old Testament.
Mm-hmm.
I want you to think about the three Hebrew boys. He would show up at different times in the Old Testament. Jacob wrestling with the angel of the Lord. And when he came back, that donkey saw that sword drawn, and he cracked a leg and his foot against the wall. He said, "I'm not going no further. Don't you see the angel with the sword drawn? And the church is right there."
Mm-hmm.
The church is so stuck on the prophetic that we are riding into destruction.
Because somebody, God gave me this word. I was sitting in the car today, God gave me this word. You have been drugged, somebody, or you have been drugged off course because somebody gave you an off word. They gave you an And the first part of it came to pass, but the rest of it set you up to be tormented in your sleep. But it ends tonight.
Wow.
God showed me you, young woman. He showed me you. God showed me you, and he showed me the prophet that prophesied to you. And this person has slept with you. This person has manipulated your money, but God said it stops tonight.
Oh, Jesus.
I got it. I sever that spirit.
Yes.
God help me. Woo, God, thank you, Jesus. Say it. We're going to close your church. Oh, gee, we're going to put you in jail. for that prophecy. Because we're going to see it come in the past. And ain't going to be no, oh, I see house money, car properties. It's going to be, I see death, damnation, and hell. If you don't get it, going, oh, help me, God, help me, help me. Hell is a place. The devil is a real spirit.
That's right.
Evil is real. And you can't play with that. Oh, God. You can't play with the devil. All these people calling themselves prophet, not walking in no kind of power. Don't know nothing what a mantle means. You ain't never sniffed a mantle. You don't know what it is to walk through a midnight. You don't know what it is to suffer.
Ooh, Jesus.
Jesus. This one don't come cheap.
That's right.
That's
it's a price.
To break up tonight. There's so many people that are operating in power, but you're no more than a functional witch.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to help you tonight. Or there's two things I really want to bring up tonight before I hand this over to prophets. But there's a thing, what you're writing this down, it's called a blind witch.
Blind witch.
That's the first thing, a blind witch.
Okay.
The second is a functional witch.
A who?
A functional witch. Someone that's just functioning fluently in witchcraft. So you got blind witch, number two, a functional witch, and then number three, a charismatic witch. And we see these every Sunday.
Yes, though.
They were the usher Lord. They're in hospitality.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them are mothers in the church. Operating in domination, control. Oh, God, and manipulation.
Yes. And all stem from...
coming back to themselves. You're being ruled by a spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Every time you have to, well, what did I just say? What did I do? When you see somebody's character, they're nice 1 minute, and then they're nasty the next. That is a spirit.
Ooh. Wow.
That's not what... That's just the way I am. No, that's a spirit.
That's
Lord.
A spirit. That's right. So, is it say all stems from Jezebel, the spirit of Jezebel?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Very much so. Very much so. And some people don't really talk about this, but the root of that spirit is an Ahab spirit. You can't find Jezebel without an Ahab.
Yeah, Ahab spirit, okay.
Spirit gets his authority from an Ahab.
Mm-hmm.
From someone that's usually, I'm going to bless somebody tonight. Usually, a Jezebel and an Ahab spirit comes from somebody that will not submit to the obedience of the Lord, and they get they step into offense, and they usually start as a gatekeeper and a watchman, and God will make the gatekeeper Ahab and the watchman a Jezebel.
Mm.
So when they were supposed to be watching, they've turned an about face to what they were watching, and they've accepted it. And then the gatekeeper that's supposed to be watching, who's coming in the church, who's infiltrating inside the system of the church, they totally stop watching, totally stop keeping a watch.
Mm-hmm.
And some of you on this line, God is telling you to get back to your watch. Some of you keep getting up in the morning. That's why he's waking you up. He's not waking you up and you having dreams that he's waking you up for nothing. Because I'm telling you, this next year, it's going to be rough if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior.
That's right. Not the Savior of your grandmama or your pastor.
That's right. And even down to this, we see that the word says in Revelation chapter 12 that, you know, we overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of our testimony. But many of us are stopped at the blood of the Lamb. Well, I'm covered, you know, I'm saved, but you have no testimony.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm saying about your faith not having experience. We have a whole lot of Holy Ghost filled, fire baptized, running off of Jesus people that have no experience with God.
No relationship.
That's why they think noise is the anointing. That's why they think shouting, screaming, and dancing is the Holy Ghost.
Can you say that one more time, please?
We think that, we think that's the Holy Ghost. We think, we think that's the Holy Ghost.
Mm-hmm.
And the Holy Ghost is just that. He's the Holy Spirit. He's a spirit of holiness.
Yep.
And I don't mean long dress holiness. I don't mean stink and breath holiness. I don't mean crusty lip holiness. Because that's how I would show anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Some folk with the longest skirts are the best prostitutes.
Yes.
I'm talking about the spirit of holiness. You can't see the spirit of holiness. Lord, I remember somebody was preaching, you know, the angels, they bow down to God, and every time they see a new vision of God, they say, oh, God, I never seen that side of you before, and I just think you so holy. That is not what that means.
Mm-hmm.
When you look in Isaiah 6, the seventh, and I'm getting to that blind, functional, and charismatic, because somebody needs that tonight.
Yes, okay.
But you got to understand that the seraphim, first of all, their eyes are covered. Can't nobody just look at God like that. I want people to get that. Oh, God, I want to see your face. You don't want to see God's face. You do not want to see God's face like you think you want to see God's face.
Mm-hmm.
God, Lord have mercy. Moses saw God's back and was lighting up like a glowworm.
Yes.
Because of the revelation of God in his past. What God had already done, to the point that God said, I'll walk past you and I'll allow you to see all my goodness pass before you, to the point that if you would just begin to reflect and count your blessings, you have to look for what God's about to do. If you reflect on his goodness passing before you, God would bring you into your new day. But you don't want to, you want to accept the God that has already been. So you can't accept the God that's coming if you don't know the God that's already been there.
Mm-hmm.
But God is going to do something. God is just talking on this tonight. But if you're going to do whatever God's going to do for you next, he is in some way or some form or shape or capacity already done it.
Mm-hmm.
So you're not looking for, this may be a new situation, but it's not a new one for God. I have to tell you that tonight. Whatever you believe in God for, he has already done it for you. It's been done already in the spirit realm. Mm-hmm. You're just waiting to call it down. You're just waiting for the manifestation, but it's already come. God wants you to catch up where he is. So we look at this, you have a blind witch. Prophets, a blind witch, and we have a lot of them in the body of Christ. These are people that actually, Lord Jesus, you know that the majority of those three witches that I just talked about are in the church that save people?
Wow.
Over what saved people and the spirit of offense has caused them to harbor hate and hatred in their hearts for people and unforgiveness and strife and jealousy and envy, where the Bible says that every evil work is with that spirit. First of all, you got to understand that witchcraft is a work of the flesh. It's a work of the flesh. You do not need a spirit in order to work witchcraft.
Oh.
Somebody really need to think about that. Lord, have the spirit of perversion. It's perversion of the spirit realm. That's what witchcraft is. Using,
perversion of the spirit realm.
That speaks, that functions, that speaks in tongues, that preaches, that prophesies, that prays, that can see, has visions, dreams, but they don't know what to do with it. Help me, Lord. That's true. But there are people in our churches that have just seen it for years, but they don't know what it is. So those people, the ignorant people, to the point that you will go to somebody that you think can see that is really a witch, that all she needs to do, Lord Jesus, we were looking at a testimony of a guy that was underneath somebody that kind of raised him, but she was a voodoo high priestess.
Mm-hmm.
And she owned the territory in Haiti to the point that they don't overlap their territories. And he saw church women, praying women, come in, sanctified holy women, coming into this woman to get answers about their husbands that they couldn't get from their pastor. But because this woman can see something, I'm going to come down and I'm going to give her a little money. Put a little money down, and she's going to tell me something. But what you don't know is that eventually you're going to be putting down your house. Eventually you're going to be putting down your car. Eventually you're going to be putting down your life, your children, your marriage.
Mm-hmm.
You will be surprised what somebody will sacrifice for a word that they think from God.
Oof, Jesus. Yes, Lord. Mm-mm-mm.
These women were coming to this woman that was a voodoo high priestess. She was a high witch. I can't even get into that tonight. You got witches and you have high witches. These are witches of first and second degree rank.
Mm-hmm.
These are witches that confer and are almost coming to the possession of Satan, brides of Satan. And they have warlocks that are ranked. It's just like prostitutes and pimps. They're rankings. This is a system that's been set up in the world, in the cosmos. The Greek word for system is basilia. It's a demonic machine that makes things work.
Mm.
It's a system of the world. It's a system of Babylon.
Yes.
Tell me, Lord, I got to leave that alone. I can't even touch that like I want to. But it's alive, and it's well in the school systems, in government, in the church. It's alive and well. And if you don't know your word, you're going to be sitting up under your next bishop and not even know that he is a warlock.
Ooh, Jesus.
He can tell you something. Be not deceived. God is not mine. Whatever man sow, that shall he also reap.
Mm-hmm.
And all this what our voodoo priestess had to do was say, thank you, Jesus. And she spoke in tongues. And she was throwing little catchphrases around. But she had them under control.
Hmm.
I remember Bishop George Bloomer, telling a testimony about his grandmother, taking little plastic men and writing names in the scriptures on the little men and sticking them in flower pots for whatever the woman wanted her husband to do.
Mm-hmm.
You would be surprised what somebody will do for the sake of being powerful. God help me. We got some intercessors.
Mm-hmm.
They're supposed to be just intercessors. And they went on calling themselves. Nobody has laid hands on them. Nobody has checked their spirit for any kind of disease in the spirit. And you got people that are transmitting spiritually transmitted diseases in the realm of the spirit. There's spiritual STDs going around. And it's stunting the growth of the church.
Mm-hmm.
So when you are a blind witch, I'm going to say this, I'm going to turn over to Proverbs. When you're a blind witch, you're someone that operates, even in a prophetic realm. Prophetic doesn't mean godly. Chaka Khan's grandmother was a healer. She was called a healer. And she would use crystals, and that's called crystallomancy. She would use crystals and healing aids and read people's auras and give them prophecies. And they came to pass, but they came to pass with a price.
Yeah.
I don't care who you are. You want, let me give this first word. If you want power, it's going to come with a price. Whether you're serving God or you're serving Satan himself, it's going to come with a price.
Yeah.
You're going to give up something. It ain't free. Somebody need to say it ain't free. It wasn't for free.
Yeah.
Lord, have mercy, Jesus. It didn't come for free. My God, my God, my God. So you got blind witches, people that operate in prophetic realm, in gifts of healing, in different things, but they don't have the Spirit of God. I might switch over there. And then you have functional witches. These are people that are disgruntled people that have left the church.
Mm-hmm.
These are people that are enraged with spiritual authority, and they went on past white magic. They just dabbled in black magic. These are people that are monotonous. These are people that are obnoxious. These are people that will not go away. These are people that say, I don't care what you do, I'm staying right in this church, and I'm going to work my magic. And I don't mean a magic with a C. I mean a magic with a CK.
Yes.
I'm going to work my little candles. I'm going to my candles. I'm going to work my voodoo, my hoodoo. And despite popular belief, you have to be a Christian in order to work hoodoo right. You got to know the Bible. There are even people that do witchcraft with the Bible, believe it or not. There was a woman that was having, my uncle was dating this girl, and her mother was making her read the Bible backwards. Backwards, backwards, backwards. And one day, this girl was asleep in the middle room. And she began out of her sleep speaking in an unknown tongue, but it wasn't a holy tongue. And her voice was like 5 octaves deeper than her own voice.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just a grumbling. And my grandmother told him, get this girl out my house. Who is this? You didn't cut her off? Because her spirit ain't right. Something is wrong with that. And they all went to the Baptist church. But because people ain't got answers, people are seeking God. They think they're seeking God. They're seeking for power. They're seeking to be enlightened. But they're seeking all the wrong sources because the church will not get up in their authority. We don't know who we are.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know that we have dominion.
Yes.
That's been given over to us. And then you have Pharaoh, who was a charismatic witch. That is the Holy Ghost filled, fire baptized, run around the church witch.
Mm-hmm.
Witch.
Yes.
And they operate in what's called works of love. If someone has always got a gift for you, be careful. If somebody always got some food for you, be careful. Somebody always invite you over to their house, and you got to come to my prayer meeting, and you better not be late, and you better do this, and you better do that. But they ain't your pastor or no authority figure. That's witchcraft. How dare you not take my plate? Why didn't you come
mm-hmm.
over here? I'm mad at you. Why don't you do such and such? Well, I got you some perfume. That's witchcraft. Because a lot of them, let me give somebody a secret, a lot of soaps and oils and lotions and fragrances have animal fat in them, makeup as well. And you got to be careful who you receive it from, even down to food. Because of the fact that it has animal fat in them, that witch knows they can work magic and put what is called a black ball or a black male spirit on you. And it keeps you from progressing. It keeps you locked in a cycle that you can't break. To the point that you got to come back to them to try to get it off of you. But the devil is a liar. Every spell is being broken. God, I thank you, God, right now. God, break every spell. God, break every incantation. God, break every omen. Break every axe. Break it in the name of Jesus.
Yes.
Break it right now. The name of Jesus has no place, has no power, has no authority. And I disallow it, and I dispossess it from going down to the next generation in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth.
Yes.
It has no place. We displace that spirit of oppression in your house. You need to get rid of those books in your house that you don't understand and that you don't read. You are
yes.
a Christian, you should not be doing yoga.
That's right.
Christian, you should not have a Ouija board.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to help you, folks. You're a real Christian, you should not have rabbit's feet. You're a Christian, you should not have, oh God, horseshoes in your house for good luck. You're a Christian, you should not, oh God, moon rings, get out your house.
Yes.
Dream catchers, praying checks, get it out your house. Even down to certain pictures, I'm going to help somebody going to be so offended, but even down to some pictures of Jesus, get it out of your house. Some of these African-American pictures of Jesus, that's not the Lord.
Amen. Say that again.
Oh, God, help me. Lord, help me today, Jesus. That's why we can't get free now, because we're thinking.
Mm-hmm.
We have made God human, and God is not in our situation. God is not like man.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think this is the first introduction, the first cutting, because the first thing you got to get out of the way is ignorance.
Yes. Amen.
People don't believe that this is real. Oh, I can't be. We shouldn't even talk about the devil. I ain't no witch in the church because I got the power of Jesus Christ on the inside of me. Ooh, Lord, do you know that there are different levels to your power?
Yes.
Do you know there are different degrees to your power in Jesus Christ? You don't stand in the rank of a Tudor, Bismarck, or Benny Hinn. That ain't your Jesus. That ain't your grade. You ain't passed them tests.
Mm-hmm.
There's some tests they went through that you have not seen or encountered yet. So don't fool yourself.
Mm-hmm.
What if it's Christ and that's all one spirit? And that's all. Yes, one spirit, but it's different measures of grace. And it's different measures of faith. And you got to operate in your proportion of faith. I can't operate in Benny's portion. It's not mine. And if I try to, that's witchcraft.
Yes.
Because I'm trying to operate like somebody else. And when
mm-hmm.
I step up, the enemy don't recognize me because I didn't came in Benny's power. I didn't came in somebody else's relationship. Be careful that you don't measure yourself by another man's measurements. Because when Satan sees you, you need to be seeing Jesus Christ, not Benny Hinn. Oh,
yes,
God.
Jesus.
Listen, James, you need to see Jesus Christ in your life. You can't preach the gospel or prophesy a word that you don't know.
Yes.
Your faith needs an experience. It's time for the saints to go back on their faith.
Yes.
We should be praying and fasting, and I'm really seeking the Lord because I really, really, really want to go before the Lord. I cannot go into the next year without fasting. I can't do it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to do it. I want to turn my plate down because I want to hear what God is saying. I'm not trying to manipulate God to hear what he's saying. I know that I need to cut some things off it may not be sin, but some of us, it's not sin, it's self. You got to rebuke self sometimes. Because sometimes you don't want to, sometimes we tell God that we're tired, and God don't want to hear it. Because the witch don't say I'm tired.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God. They never get tired. We're the only ones tired, eating everything on this earth we're supposed to eat, and get through halfway through praise and worship. We can hardly breathe, sleeping through the word, and God can do everything under the sun for us. It ain't happening. It's time for us to come to another standard.
Mm-hmm.
And the standard's being raised, and you're either going to be left or you're going to go. But we ain't waiting on you because it's time for the church to go. You're either going with us or you're going to get left. But you need to make up your mind with who you going to serve.
Mm-hmm.
You've been introduced to the real God. I'm in my office tonight. You have been introduced to the real God. He's not no pansy God. He's not no Bible story God. He's not make-believe. He is the real living God. He is the Lord tonight. Make up your mind. You're either going to come all the way. Because you can't come into this kind of, and I'm talking to the people that don't know. You have to come. When you come into this kind of wisdom and this knowledge, you cannot go back. Because you're going to be confronted. And you're going to have to be, oh, God, and God's going to hold you responsible for what you heard tonight. You're going to be responsible. And if you don't obey, the blood's going to be on your hands. Thus said the Lord.
Amen.
It's time for us to walk in obedience. It's time for us to walk in real consecration.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sick of the devil. I'm sick of the enemy. He has no power. We were sitting around somebody saying, oh, God, the devil's just so strong. He's just so good. He's so bad. He's strong in the life of an ignorant bastard believer that don't know their rights in the gospel. We don't know who we are. We don't know that we are sons. Not just servants, sons.
Yes.
Friends of God. He'll tell a servant what he tell a friend. And somebody, you just gonna have to receive it tonight. It's more, it's tight, but it's right. You gotta receive it. Because you need to go to another dimension, or you're not gonna see 2013.
Ah, Jesus.
It's not a game. I gotta give this word, I'm gonna give this to prophets. What we're about to see in the government. You think that it's over because Obama's in office, but you ain't seen nothing yet.
Ah, Jesus.
Mm. You ain't seen nothing. I hear the Lord saying something's about to be turned loose. Something's about to be passed in legislation, and you better get on your face and pray. There's some things that's being done to the Constitution. There's some things being done to the preamble. There's some things being done to our rights. There's some things that are about to be turned, and you don't even know it.
Mm-hmm.
Your rights being snatched from you, and you don't even know it. Hear me. Hear me in the Holy Ghost. You're going to see it. You're going to see it on the news. There's going to be some bills passed that was not told about, that was not broadcast. And it's going to legalize everything under the sun, and it's going to start to shut down the mouth of the church.
Yes.
You better know who you believe. I'm a weird.
Apostle,
I'm going to turn this over to prophet.
Before you turn that call over, do you want to take, I have someone that have a question. Do you want to take this or you want to wait? Because we do have like 46 more minutes.
We can take it. We'll okay. We can take it.
It's just one person so far, so.
Jesus.
Okay. Hello, caller, you on the line, area code 860.
Thank you for taking my call. I just wanted prayer for a job. I'm just feeling really frustrated today. I just need God to move.
Okay. We're going to we're going to pray, but we're going to hold that prayer request till the end. We're going to hold that toward the end of the show. Stay on, though, because we're going to pray. We're most definitely going to pray.
I'll listen on the
Hallelujah.
Computer. I don't
because
have that
Because your breakthrough is coming, but to be honest, I'm going to tell you, the Lord say it ain't financial. Your breakthrough is spiritual. God's trying to do something in your spirit, and you got to let him. It's a job not going to fix everything. That's why you're on this line tonight. God would not have bring this kind of word just for you to get a job. There's something coming with that job if you're not prepared in the spirit first. So we most definitely going to pray. So keep on the line. Stay on. But most definitely know that there's a spiritual breakthrough that's got to happen first, because there's some things that you've encountered and there's some things that you don't know that you need to know. That
yeah,
God's not
I've
just
got,
going to put
I've
you. God's going to transfer you. God's going
to
transfer you first.
There's some people in the occult coming against me.
Yeah. Yeah, see, we're going to go into this testimony. What's your name?
Kristen.
Kristen? Yeah.
Yep.
Stay online. You want to hear this testimony. Because
mm-hmm.
it won't. The enemy showed his head, but he's not going to prosper. And the first thing I want to cast out is the spirit of fear. Don't be fearful.
Amen.
Don't be afraid.
Kristen, I want to say this to you, and after that we're going to cut loose. Please, please, please. Whatever you do, and not only for the sake of time, because we only have 40 minutes left, to stay connected, because I am definitely going to pray. Apostle and I, Prophet Tiana, we're all going to pray for you. We're going to pray that every demonic activity that has been directed, you know, towards your life strategically,
mm-hmm.
that it's going to stop and it's going to cease. Don't pull on the cord. And so, with that being said, woman of God, yeah, I need to tell you my testimony, because I have a feeling that what I'm about to say to you and everybody else that's listening, what I'm about to release on the line, I think you really, really want to hear this, and you may be able to relate to it. And after that, I'm going to pray. And don't stop calling in. Even if you do have questions, you know, interrupt us, because every question or every prayer request or dream that you have, I'm taking it and I'm writing it down, and we want to consolidate it all, and we want to do a one-shot, one-kill, the realm of the spirit, with everything. Is that cool, Christian?
Very cool. Thank you.
Okay. So stay connected, because God does have a word for you.
Thank you.
No problem. God be glory.
Amen. Do you want to take this other call, Prophetess, before you get started, or you want to wait?
Sure thing. We can take it real quick.
Okay. Hello, caller. You're on the line. Area code 980.
Hello. I have a question, because in my church, a big part of our service is right before the sermon, we go through a process of where we go around and hug everybody and all that. And when the apostle was speaking about the charismatic witch, I just want to know, in the event I encounter one such person, how do I guess for lack of a better term, and it's not a spirit of fear or anything like that, but how do I let them know I recognize who they are?
You don't, because you don't blow your cover. You
okay.
don't. I'm going to go through all of that. Oh, y'all asked me questions, and I was about to tell it. And I knew it. That's why I told Prophetess to take the next question, because I just had this feeling that I'm going to hit every inch of that. Oh, my God. Oh,
okay.
My Lord. Y'all stay connected. Y'all, I promise you, you're going to be like, that's my answer. That's it. That's it right there. I promise you.
Well, it's so funny when you said sometimes you would get up and go to the bathroom, and I know we push for time. I will always want
to
do that when
I didn't have to go to no bathroom. I just got up and I walked out of the service, because I knew that there were certain witches or certain people. You know, everybody's not a witch, but you have some people who dibble and dabble in witchcraft and not see it. And so what I do is I get up and I walk out. You know, you have some people who don't deal with the magics and with the candles and with the books and the potions and the feathers and all of the tea leaves and, you know, liquid potions and stuff like that. But they're very persuasive, very persuasive and intimidating with them being persuasive. You have to be really careful. I want a person to watch that closer than someone that's got dust.
Okay, we'll tune in to your testimony and I'll tune in.
Okay, just stay connected.
Okay.
Okay. All right.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to start with my testimony because I know we don't have a lot of time. So, I don't know if I should start when I was a little girl all the way till maybe 5 years ago, but I will start from when I was younger, when I was a little girl. My mother was married to this man, loved this man. He's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
But the marriage did not work. The marriage was actually very successful. We went on trips all the time. And here in Tennessee, there's a city, or a little town, shall I say, called Gatlinburg. And I didn't know much about it. I still don't know much about it, but I do know that there's a lot of prejudice that takes place, and it's heavy witchcraft that's there, okay? So I remember very little about the trip. The only thing that I, on my own, remember about the trip is sleeping in a hotel with my mom and my stepdad. My biological father, you know, my mom had me at 16, things
uh-huh.
of that nature, and, you know, how that can go, you know, teenage love relationships that goes and stuff like that, where he ended up going to the service, my biological father, and he
uh-huh.
knew about my mother and her husband, and who she married. He was really cool with them, you know, had a good family, happy family. Right? Everything started out really good. And while my dad was away in the Army, I was an Army child, and my dad was away. My mom was a stay-at-home mom, and she was going to nursing school, and she was married to this man that made plenty of money, lived in a nice apartment, everything, nice car, nice everything. And we went on a trip to Gatlinburg, Tennessee, and all I remember was sleeping in the hotel room with my mom and my stepdad. I used to sleep in between them because I was spoiled. I remember that, and I remember going to the zoo, and I remember, you know, just seeing a couple of buildings, and that's it. That's all I remember about that trip. I remember purchasing the brand new Cutlass, because in the 80s, Cutlass were hot then. They were very hot. So we had a Cutlass. I remember complaining about the back seat of the car, and I said, something's wrong with this back seat. It looks loose, and they fixed it for me, and I mean, just all kinds of crazy stuff or whatever. That's what I thought. It was nothing was wrong with the car. It was just spoiled, and I had my way. And we went out everywhere. Wherever I wanted to go, we went. Wherever they wanted to go, they took me. Went to Gatlinburg. Now, some years later, I'm not understanding why. I remember the trip, but I don't remember everything that has happened in the trip, okay? So I go over pictures, and my mother, you know, at that time, Polaroid cameras that spit the pictures out, that were really hot in the 80s, okay? So I see all these pictures, you know, these buildings, these zoo. Oh, my hair is braided. Oh, I look so cute. I was a cute little girl. Then I see a woman with a really colorful headscarf. She had long brunette hair, and she had deep eyeshadow, and she had a crystal ball with the face of a demon sitting in the crystal ball in the photo. And the light that was coming out of this crystal ball, I said, what the devil was that? Then I remember seeing a photo. Now, I'm 15 years old looking at these photos. Then I saw another photo of a man with breasts. He had no clothes on, and he stood up and he did the sign. If you're a Trekkie, and if you're, you know, a Star Trek fan or Trekkie, you know the sign that I'm talking about, the little fingers that they throw up and things like that. That's the devil's horn. So anyway, we're going to get into the movies. We're going to talk about all of that stuff on the next show. We're getting into the nitty-gritty of this. So anywho, we was, you know, he was throwing up this little symbol, and he had the bull's horn or the ram's horn. This god is called Baphomet, and you can Google it and get a picture of who I'm talking about. and that is spelled B-A-P-H-O-M-E-T, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, we saw all of these things, and I didn't understand where I was at. I don't know what kind of museum it was. All I know was, according to the photos that I was looking at 15. Now, mind you, I took this trip, I think I was 3 years old. I took that trip. At 15, I'm like, I remember going to this place, but I don't remember seeing this. We saw Baphomet, this god that a lot of the people who operate in divination and witchcraft, this is the god that they worship. This is a Baal god, things like that, okay? So this is all about perversion, sexual immorality, all of that stuff, okay? We're going to do a teaching on that one day. So I'm looking at these photos so many years later, 12 years later, I'm looking at photos, and I'm like, where do these photos come from? I'm like, oh, my God, how did I get my mom's photos of all this mess? Now, not understanding anything about witchcraft, okay? Now, let's go back into my earlier childhood. After leaving Gatlinburg, Tennessee, I was in a car accident. My mother hit a drunk. There was a woman, she was driving drunk. And we had a head-on collision, and I was in the back seat, was not seatbelt. I didn't have a seatbelt on. And I flew from the back seat out of the driver's side window in between the two cars. I don't know how it ended up that way, but I was thrown from the vehicle, and I landed on the concrete. And all I know, I saw a car to my right and a car to my left. That's all I remember. And my mother was being put on the ambulance. The woman who we crashed into, her car was totaled. Our car was totaled. No one should have survived that wreck, the accident. But the woman who we hit, she was out. She was gone, like knocked out. And they had masks on her face. They had one truck for her, and they had a truck for me and my mom. And they took this woman away immediately. I'm laying on the concrete. There is a woman who walks up to me, and she says, little girl, are you okay? And I said, where's my mom? And she grabbed me by my hand. She said, stand up and walk, and she disappears.
Wow.
So go to the hospital, no scratch on my body, nothing, no concussion, nothing is there, nothing. No scratch. I don't have anything on my body right now to prove that accident.
Mm-hmm.
That was one thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, what in the world? Now I'm 5 years old. My mom wanted to take me to the Memphis State University game or University of Memphis game. At that time, Elliot Perry was playing for the University of Memphis, and we didn't call it that. We called it MSU. So anyway, we was crossing the street. My mom kept trying to get me to stay, but I really wanted to go to the game, and I went. A car came out of nowhere, shut his lights off, and he put the pedal to the metal, and he was aiming right for me, and I'm standing right in front of his car. It should have been ran over flat.
Mm-hmm.
And my mother drove me out of the street and scratched up my knees. That was another thing that I said, wait a minute, what was that all about? And as I get older, I'm thinking about all the things that has happened to me. A man tried to kidnap me at the age of 11, things of that, all kinds of stuff, all kinds of accidents. It seemed like every single year I was in some type of car accident, some kind of crash, and the car was total, and I could not understand. Let me tell you why. Because something happened when we went to that trip in Gatlinburg. There was something that opened up to me. Something was exposed to me as a child that should have never been exposed to me. And they for entertainment purposes only. And even in that is a spirit, and it's a spirit of deception behind entertainment. And you have to even understand that. And people probably think, spiritual, but if you look up entertainment's definition means to take your mind off of what you really should be focusing on. That's the whole job of entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
You're going through warfare and you getting all depressed, you just need to laugh, so you look at somebody who's a comic or who's a comedian, so you laugh. Entertainment, it takes you off away from what you really need to be thinking about. So, and when you're supposed to be praying, instead you let your situations get you all mixed all up and messed up and things like that, and you want to laugh. And so, or you go and you drink, entertainment. You go to the club, entertainment. Go to the casino, entertainment. You go to the amusement park, you spend all your money, entertainment. Going to Disney World, entertainment. Going to the movies, watching these demonic shows and stuff like that, entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in all of that,
Now I realize at 16, 17 years old, something's going on with me. What is it? I was always challenged educationally, never really could bring good grades home, was not the very brightest, but yet I could figure anything out. You give me something, I'll figure it out. But when it came to schoolwork, I couldn't get it done. I just did not know. Now I'm going on 21 years old. I'm a grown woman. I married my first husband. Everything's great and wonderful. He introduces me to this ministry, pulling me out of a missionary Baptist church.
Mm-hmm.
The first sign of me leaving the missionary Baptist church was a woman, beautiful woman, very big. She was a big woman, but she was beautiful, beautiful woman, walking down the middle of the aisle with a little boy, and she had on all red. She had red accessories, a red tight dress, red shoes, and even though she shouldn't have been wearing a dress, she was still beautiful. I mean, she just, to me, she was gorgeous. And she had such a handsome child. And she walked down the middle of the aisle of this Baptist church and sat on the front row. In a missionary Baptist church, that's a huge no-no. You don't do that, especially when the pastor is preaching. And all of a sudden, the pastor started preaching about sex, and he said, well, sex is good, and you know, and blah, 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 and you know, sex is real good, and he just started making these jokes about sex, but he said, you know, but it's supposed to be between the husband and the wife, and he was talking about the holiness behind it and things like that, but she came in on the wrong part of the message. This woman grabs her son, she looks at me, made direct eye contact, and she tells me, you know, with her lips, you need to get out of here. And I'm looking at her, and she looked at me, she rolled her eyes, snatched up her son, got right back up off the front row, walked right back down the middle aisle, and she walked out of the doors. Now, understand that this church, you can drive in one way, and you drive out another way. So if I'm driving out of this parking lot of the church, you have to wait before you can drive in because the entrance was small, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And if you're walking, the parking lot was so huge to where, when I ran out of the choir set, I should have ran up to her. I should have been able to catch her. So immediately I leave the choir stand, run out the church, and I'm looking for the woman. The security guard is always on his watch. And I said, where's that big woman who just came in the church? She came in with a little boy, she on all red. He said, nobody has been in this church since 11 o'clock service, and honey, it's 2 o'clock. Ain't nobody been here. I said, I saw a woman, and I know I saw her. She just left out, and I should have called her, so I know. He said, no one has come in. I said, but she walked through the front door. He said, I've been standing at this front door. No one's come in. That was my cue that it was time to go.
Mm-hmm.
I left the church, come to find out the pastor was a pedophile and things like that. I had no idea. We had been up under this man for years, even as a child. He's never bothered me. I didn't know it, but as the years grew older, he became very, very ill, and he started doing things that were very unseemly. Now, moving along. So I got married because the people told me that it was a great idea. That's why we married. So we married because we were best friends, and we thought we loved each other, and we thought that's what God said to do because everybody proper lied to us and said, God said. We never sought the Lord. We never went into prayer. I stepped on the altar with this man, and he tells me, something's telling me to leave. I'm hearing the same voice. I'm hearing the same thing, Sid, and maybe we do need to leave. But then next thing you know, people start saying, oh, be encouraged and this, that, and the other, and blah, 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 and we go ahead and we proceed with the marriage, and he introduces me to a church. The first church he introduced me to, he said, now this is where I got all of my teaching from, and this is where I've learned about the Lord, and you know the Bible says, which it doesn't, the Bible says that the woman's supposed to leave her church home, and she's supposed to follow my place of worship, and I said, okay, and I believed that, and I went with him, only to find out that the wife of the pastor, who was a bishop, she was a witch. I was taught in that church how to pray against people. So if someone came in the church and said, well, guess what? First lady, I'm getting married. She would call me up and she'll say, Sharonda, I want you to stand behind them while I pray for them. And I would stand behind them and she would pray, but she would never pray for their union. She would call me into her office and say, now, ask God to not allow them to get married. And as I got ready to pray for that, the Lord said, you better not. Pray that my perfect will be done for their life. Till this day, it has been 13 years now, this couple is still married, and they're happily married.
Yes.
Okay, that was one of the things that the woman tried to teach me. Another thing, you know, I'm a cook, and I love to cook from scratch. This woman was trying to teach me how to cook box food, you know, stuff. There's nothing wrong with that. You want to make your macaroni and cheese by Kraft, that's fine. You know, praise the Lord. It's just as good as homemade mac and cheese. But she was trying to change my habits of how I'm used to doing things. She said it's quicker if you cook the Kraft, because if you cook Kraft, it only takes you 5 minutes, and you're trying to make homemade macaroni and cheese, and you're trying to do this, that, and the other, and it's taking you a long time, and you won't have time for ministry. And see what's going on is your husband, he's trying to keep you at home so you don't do ministry. And if I were you, I won't get pregnant by him, and this, that, and the other. So what did I do? I started withholding sex just so I wouldn't get pregnant so I could pursue ministry. Hadn't I been in full-time ministry, not even 2-3 months. So now she's teaching me how to rebel in my home. This woman began to teach me how to manipulate my husband. She began to teach me how to pray against certain things that I did not want. Her whole thing was word curses and how to pray against. But one day, the Lord gave me a word, and he wanted me to preach in the church, but I never told her. But somehow she tapped in, and she said, I want you to preach in my church. God is telling me to tell you to preach. I said, okay, and I preached. And the name of that message was, Are You Ready for War? And it was exposing witchcraft. I had no idea why I was doing it. And ever since then, the bishop looked at me, Holy Ghost filled man, but somehow yet the man was still controlled by this manipulating woman. He told me, he said, daughter, he said, I won't be here long and I won't be your pastor long. I already know that. He said, but what I want you to know is God has given you such strong discernment. He said, before any other gift that you have, he said, you have the ability to pray and you have the ability to discern. And he said, and the things that God is about to show you, he said, you got to believe it, because you're not going to want to believe it. You're not going to want to hear about it. You're not going to want to know, but you got to believe God. And I said, okay, you're scaring me. What do you mean by me not having you as my pastor long? He said, you didn't think I was going to live forever, did you? And I said, well, I don't think anybody is, but and he just left it alone. He said, all right, do what I said. And I said, yes, sir. And immediately when he prayed for me, I was filled with the Holy Ghost, and I began to speak in tongues immediately and things like that. That's when I started going through demonic oppression. My husband, at that time, he would leave, and he would go to work. And he would leave third shift at 11 o'clock at night. And by the time the clock struck 12, demons would come in my bedroom. I would have covers being snatched off of me. I had scratches on my body. I was suffocated at night. I couldn't breathe. I couldn't sleep. And I had so many Bibles. I was so spiritual. I just bought Bibles all the time. Every time I had $2 or $3, I bought Bibles. And I took about 7 Bibles and surrounded them all around my bed, because another witch, another blind witch, told me, get Bibles and surround them around your bed, bibliomancy. And they said that the demons will not be able to enter into the place where you sleep if you surround your body with the Bibles. I did that, and when I went to sleep, I slept peacefully for about 15 minutes, and I thought I woke up, and I saw a demon in my bed, and there was 2 of them, and they were standing up at least about 8 to 10 feet tall, and all of a sudden, they had on all this black cloak, and I didn't see eyes. I didn't see a facial feature or anything. It was just complete blackness, just darkness, and they both jumped over the Bibles into my bed and began to strangle me. And so now I'm being choked, I'm being pulled on, I'm fighting, I'm screaming, I'm trying to wake up. You know, they say you got witches on your back and things like that or whatever to keep you from moving. And all I could do was thank Jesus. I know everybody and their mama had that experience. But except I was seeing these spirits, okay? After that, as soon as I called on the name of the Lord, I saw angels, literally,
like I could see this telephone in my hand. I could see angels in the middle of the night. This is a little bit after midnight now. And they surrounded my apartment all outside my window, and they drew their swords. And these demons, they shook and they jumped out of my bed and they ran out. And as soon as they ran out through my window trying to get past the angels, and they began to fight. And it was like a second-long fight. It was no match. And they stayed there, and as long as I felt that they were there, I was able to sleep. Now, you know, I'm realizing, hey, something's not right with this church, and, you know, my mom warned me about the church, and all of a sudden, someone telling me, oh, my dog's barking. Someone's telling me, you need to go to this church because they got, and I know they got the Holy Ghost here. And I said, okay, great. I go to this church, and I tell my friend who was going to the old church with me, I said, Tanya, come with me. And she says, okay, great. She says, okay, great. She comes with me, and she can't sit down because the first lady who we sat under, she loved dolls. I know my time is winding down. She loved dolls. And every time she would get sick or anything, we would buy her dolls, not knowing what they were used for. And we was visiting the church. We were still going to Newburgh, but we was visiting this church. And next thing you know, she couldn't sit down all the way. And I was trying to interrupt the pastor. And he was preaching, and I kept waving my hand, and he thought I was like, amen, amen. But I'm trying to get his attention. And finally, I jump out. I said, apostle. And he stopped in his chest. He said, I see this. And he broke the spirit of witchcraft off of her. She could not sit down. She was in so much pain. She said, this feels like labor pain. She said, I feel like there's needles going in and out of me, in and out, just in and out of my body. And I feel like I just want to throw up blood for some reason. I don't know what that's all about. He broke this spirit off of her, and that's when we knew we had to leave. So we go back to the church. Out of fear, didn't want to leave because we were scared. But we ended up leaving about three weeks later. We left the church and we went to the church where we received prayer. We went there. Everything was great in that church. But the Lord told me to move along with another apostle because the people in this church, very anointed, but they were uneducated, you know, with the anointing that they possessed. Therefore, witches would infiltrate and come and sit in any given service. They would levitate off the ground. In that church, I would see witches come in. They would levitate. I saw witches sprinkle salt. I saw witches, they would speak word curses. And the apostle and the first lady of that ministry was always in warfare. And at that time, I met this apostle. And he said, daughter, why don't you come with me? Because this time you go through the school of the prophets. They're not going to take you through it. In this class and in this school of the prophets, till this day, I thank the Lord for that apostle. I thank God for him. He trained me up as a prophet. He did not short step with me. He didn't half step with me. He didn't play with me. He didn't sugarcoat nothing. He cut my guts out. Talked to me sometimes like a dog. And when I say that, I mean, you know, humiliate me in front of people, would sit me down, and would do it in love. I always did it in love. I felt bad, but I never felt condemned. And he trained me. And when I left his ministry, I only left his ministry because he moved out of town. And he told me, he said, be careful where you go, daughter, because now you're equipped. And I said, all right. So now I go back to the church where all these witches were at. Because I believe now I have an assignment. Now I've been equipped and I have an assignment. I know how to pray. But the warfare at that time had gotten so great to where there's nothing I could actually do with that. However, I went and then I did what I thought I was supposed to do and I left the church and I stayed home for a while. And my same friend who received prayer, she said, I know of a fivefold ministry. She said, now, Sharonda, that's a fivefold ministry right there. I think you need to come. Wow. You think you heard a testimony. We went to the church, and I said, okay, I'm loving this word, and the people, you know, are up and they're testifying, they have testimony services, and this one girl, she said something that threw me off. She said, just give God praise. I thank God for this church. Ain't no church like this church. And there'll never, ever, ever be a church like this church because this church teaches the truth.
And this church has holiness, and this church is the only church that I know that has taught me that when we go to be with the Lord, that we will be over and we will be assigned to galaxies. That we will be kings and we'll be rulers and queens over planets. And I'm looking like, what the what? I said, okay, you got to find that in the Word. So he never went to me or went to that to the scripture for me with that, but neither did I ever hear this apostle or this bishop say anything about it. So I said, okay, well, maybe that's her just talking crazy. Maybe she's just acting a fool, and, you know, maybe he had to sit her down because I never heard him say anything. The first thing that I learned from this apostle, I was hooked immediately, just like Apostle was talking about charismatic witchcraft one-on-one, this church, yes, it was. The first thing he did, he noticed me, and he noticed my son. My son has multiple disabilities. He noticed my son. He said, he's in a wheelchair. He's going through this. He said, can you make it back to tonight's service? I said, I don't know because I live so far away. I said, but I'll try. I was not able to come back. So someone came to a church, a guest speaker, who was also a warlock. He knew about my child from the top of his head to the sole of his feet. He knew stuff that even the church did not know. He knew about issues my son had. And I said, how did he know this stuff? And they said, girl, you missed it. But the Lord made sure that I did not show up at that service. But I, at that time, I did not know. So I felt like, okay, this is God. So I go and I join the church. And at that time, I was still married. So I told my husband at that time, come on and join with me. You know, he came and hooked him with the Word. And next thing you know, my husband joined. And I mean, all that stuff. So I'm just giving God glory and praise and everything because of this church. This man started putting money in our hands. He was giving us hundreds of dollars. He was giving us gift cards. Hey, you know, you and your wife, y'all know y'all been struggling. He said, the Lord allowed me to come into your bedroom, and I heard your conversation, and you've been discussing the light bill that cost you this much. Have you paid it? And I'm crying. I'm like, yes, we just paid it. Like, oh, my God, we just paid it. And now we don't even have anything left over. Here's a Red Lobster gift card. God told me to buy it for you. Go take your wife out here, buy her some flowers, and do this and do that. And he did just that. And I'm just looking like, wow. So my mind is now on this apostle. Now, this apostle said, make sure y'all come back to church now. And we said, okay. The next lesson we learned from this apostle is called angel writing. Mm. This man taught us how to write angels. And he used the scriptures out of the book of Revelation talking about to the angel of the church of this, or the church of Philadelphia, the church of Laodicea, and all of that and stuff like that, church of Thyatira, write this angel, or to this angel, write. And so he twisted the scriptures and said that the John the Revelator will write these angels when that's not what happened. So what we would do whenever we wanted anything to work out for us, say I wanted a Cadillac, I could write the Cadillac dealership. I could write the angel, and I would have the letter to the angel of the Cadillac dealership. I decree and declare that you will release this particular car and blah, 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 and would have the audacity to seal Jesus' name in it, and you best to believe you will have the car.
Mm.
I got my car like that. I got my house like that. I've gotten money like that. I've gotten jobs that I wanted like that. I've gotten clothes, everything, food, whatever I wanted, I got it. Because I wrote the angel. Whatever I wanted, I was able to get it.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, but wait a minute, Lord. Yeah, the apostle said, but... I said, but Lord, just wait 1 second. Something's not right. I said, he's teaching us how to write angels. He's teaching us about the galaxies and stuff. I said, but he has not taught us how to pray. I said, okay, maybe that's coming. We've learned how to sit in dark rooms. We would turn every light off. And he said, I want y'all to sit in the room, and I want you to close your eyes and meditate. Don't think about nothing. Just clear your mind. That's a dangerous thing. You don't ever do that. Mm-hmm. He said, clear your mind and sit in a dark room on your sofa in complete quietness and close your eyes and open your eyes and tell me what's the first color you see. If you see the color red, that means the enemy is in your house. If you see the color green, that means prosperity is coming. If you see the color blue, that means the Spirit of the Lord is in your house. If you see this color, if you see that color. And someone said, well, what if you close your eyes and you see a multi-color, you see a lot of colors? And he said, you might be a homosexual. And, you know, people started laughing.
Mm-hmm.
And things like that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and we did it, and we would see it. This man had us anointing cedar blocks. He had us anointing water bottles. He had us anointing oils, and we would mix the oil and the water on the cedar wood block, and we would hang it up over our doorpost to keep the enemy out. This man had us cursing people. He taught us how to curse people. It's been so bad with me at one point, ignorantly, it was so bad with me. So if a person says anything to me out of the order, I can curse them and it will come to pass, if not that same day, the next day. So now witches are coming in. See, a lot of saints feel like, well, I believe in the Lord and I trust the Lord. And, honey, I ain't got that testimony. Well, Sharonda, maybe you still a witch because, I mean, I just don't know because, honey, my whole day is just sunny and bright and all I got to do is smile and the devil will leave me alone. Let me help you. You are sadly mistaken if you feel that if you just ignore the devil and you just stay with Jesus all day long, that the enemy won't come to you. Baby, trouble going to hit your house, and you are the very prime candidate, because I'm going to tell you something about a witch. We were trained to be witches, and we were trained to be professional warlocks, and we were taught to be attracted to people who are Holy Ghost filled, because if you are not filled with the Holy Ghost, and if you did not have no real power, and if you did not have a relationship with Jesus Christ, you are not a challenge.
Mm-hmm.
Because witches love a challenge. And if you ain't got nothing to struggle with, because, see, all witches are prophetic people who have been converted over to the enemy side, and their gifts are contaminated, because God don't give you a gift and take it away. He's not an Indian giver. They just become contaminated. He may take his hands off of it, and then it's, you know, perverted. However, and I know I got to end this, so I may have to do a second half of my testimony.
Mm-hmm.
However, that's what happens with your power and with your anointing. So just because you still have the ability to do something and you know you ain't talk to God, you need to check yourself, because you may be dabbling into witchcraft and don't even know it. So people will come to me and say, I just rebuke you in the name of Jesus and blah, blah, blah. You witch and you warlock. And I will talk to them and I will say, if you don't watch it, your uncle will pass within the next week and they will be at a funeral. Apostle is laughing. I am so serious. We could speak death and a person would die. But it was promised to us out of ignorance. It was promised to us that as long as we stay connected to that church, that not one soul would die in that church and nobody would die. If they joined that church, we did not have a death in the family. No one in our families got sick, anything like that. All this stuff started going down. And next thing you know, I said, God, something ain't right. I said, God, I got all this anointing. I said, all this power. And I'm a prophet, and they're receiving me. But the people in the church hate my guts. I couldn't give it. So a true apostle came in as a guest speaker. He never would invite guest speakers or anything. He came in that house, and he cast, I know, about 7 to 8 devils out of me. And one of them was a murdering spirit, because I came with the intent to kill somebody in that church. And God set me free. And when he set me free, y'all, we're going to have to do a part two in our next session of my testimony, because this was some amazing stuff. However, when he set me free, the Lord that is, when Jesus came and set me free from that, my eyes were immediately opened. And when I saw all of the harm that I caused, and when I saw the things that happened because of my words, and my car was taken away from me, the house that I lived in that I called myself praying to get in, and I wrote the angel to get in, it was a beautiful townhome, should I say, was taken from me. I was evicted. And I said, why am I going downhill? And God said, because everything that the enemy giving you, it has to be taken away so now that I can give you these things. And so God had gave me everything I needed.
Mm-hmm.
And woman of God, man of God, God cleaned me up. And when he opened my eyes, then I began to combat the pastor.
of the church.
Mm-hmm.
Seven people left with me, and every last one of us, we were hunted. We had to get restraining orders on this man. He had made death threats to me and my children.
Mm-hmm.
He told us he would kill us. If he saw us on the street, he would murder us. He told us that he would warn every pastor in the city of Memphis because he knew every pastor not to let me in their church because if I was a witch, and he would tell them that I was a witch. He did everything that if you don't come back to me, if you don't repent to me, you're going to die. Everything. He tried everything. And all this stuff backfired on them. I'm telling you because it is real. And I used to be a person who thought at one time, well, as long as I know Jesus, the enemy can't hurt me. That is the biggest lie that has ever been told to a believer. You can be deceived. The Bible says that even the very elect will be deceived.
Will be deceived, that's right.
And you had better hear the voice of the Lord. Woman of God who's calling about a job, to the other woman of God who was talking about the ministry that she was involved in and things of that nature, let me speak to the both of your spirit at the same time while we have less than 5 minutes. Hear the voice of the Lord. Get on your face. Get both of you. You get on your face tonight at the end of this call, and you seek the Lord like never before. I decree and declare right now in the name of Jesus Christ that
yes,
God, that your captives will be set free.
Yes, Lord.
Will be set free. Woman of God that's seeking for a job, God's going to give you the job. He's going to give you another job, but you're about to go through some trials and tribulation. Understand that your suffering is for your anointing. If you don't suffer, you don't have an anointing. To the woman of God that's going to the church with the hugs going on, it's nothing wrong with that, but don't blow your cover. You are an intercessor, and you're hidden, and you're there for a reason. God says, shut your mouth and pray. Shut your mouth. I'm not rushing off. I'm not doing any of that, but please hear what the Lord is saying. Shut your mouth and don't tell anybody who you are. Because you're just like with Bishop Bloomer came to our church last night, and the word that he gave, I really believe that was a rhema word for the body of Christ. I'm going to release that word into your life. Because it wasn't the word that Bishop Bloomer said. This is what the Lord is saying to his people. That you've been anointed in secret, but you can't tell nobody about it. And it's not that you want to tell people, and you don't want to say, I see you, demon, I see you, you spirit. You ain't got to let them know, because the more you fall on your face and you worship the Lord your God, the more they're going to know. I wouldn't be surprised if a ruckus took place and everything just began to just rail all up around you in that church because of who you are. Stay on your face. Stay on your face in this season. Stay close to the Lord. Stay connected to Jesus. Stay connected to the Lord, and you watch God move. That's for the both of you women. Watch. I release the hand of the Lord right now on the both of your behalf.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus, I release the hand of the Lord right now over every situation. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Well, this has been a really awesome show. I was kind of distracted because the devil tried to infiltrate this call.
I know.
But we're going to pray about that later. But anyway, you guys, they'll be on next Monday with a part 5 to this series. So, it's just been awesome. It's been awesome. I mean, we really need the body of Christ is so blind to a lot of things, and we really need to open our eyes to the Spirit. And I will be on the next 3 days, but it'll be other ministers. But you guys know that these two men and women of God will be on every Monday. We're going to probably start doing 2 days a week soon, but right now we're just giving it a couple of weeks. So you guys, I thank you for tuning in, and be blessed.
God bless.
We are so thankful you decided to join us this week. To keep up with ministry updates, go to www.TianaCopelandMinistries.org and follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/TianaCopelandMinistries. Join us next time and make sure you invite everyone to join us as well. We pray for you, you and you, that the blessing of the Lord maketh it rich and addeth no sorrow with it. Proverbs 10:22, God bless. And all will be